evening. Welcome, everybody, to the February 6th meeting of the BCA Board of Directors. I'd like to welcome you all. As usual, I'd like to start the meeting with the member voice portion of the meeting. We have one member signed up for tonight, Mr. David Shine. Please, voice the podium. Thank you.
Remarks from last month, but I'm going to keep repeating them until I get some attention. I'm very concerned about the cost of the homeowner dues. I've been looking at the budget. The budget shows that the homeowner dues are presenting $1.5 million. So sometimes when you look at the full picture, it looks like more money. The BCA apparently takes in another $500,000 from other miscellaneous fees. I'm in favor of the BCA running on that $500,000 and eliminating the homeowner dues entirely. I've been speaking to other community associations that have not had the dramatic loss in value that we have had. Everybody's had loss of value, just about everybody in the United States. Brandermill is suffering more than many of these other communities. Part of the problem is intrinsic. We have mixed housing. It was a bad idea. We're not going to be able to fix that, but we could adjust by having the subdivisions be more autonomous independently, and each subdivision spending its share of the $500,000 in dues for what it chooses to spend its money on for its subdivision. I think that might be a more effective model. Very concerned about the pool report. The pool report, from a financial standpoint, indicates that it would be terribly expensive to put the pools in compliance. I read through the report. I'm glad to hear it's been adopted. I'd like to see this board do the right thing, which is either sell the pools or to shut them down. Now, I understand that a couple residents spoke after me last month and said, well, gee, it's nice to have pools. Isn't that wonderful? But I was thinking about something after the last meeting. The pools were private, I understand. I've been told by others. At some point, BCA bought the pools. The tennis courts are private. The golf course is private. These were mentioned in the discussion the other day as to why we need pools. Well, gee, if the golf course is private, if the tennis court is private, if the surrounding neighborhoods have private pools, why do we need to have subsidized pools, which inevitably would involve being subsidized out of the homeowner dues, which are already completely disproportionate to nearby neighborhoods? Smoke tree, $50 a year. I talked to some friends of mine who live in much nicer subdivisions, zero annual dues. We must control costs. To have raised costs at a time when housing values are crashing, not just dropping, but crashing, is truly irresponsible. And my last point is about the signs, because that's about money too. And I think we've been being sold a bill of goods, because I talked directly to the county in the last week. And as far as I can tell, it's still an illegal sign. Based on what's been reported in Chesterfield Observer, it was a $46,000 sign that not a single resident I know of Brandermill thinks was an attractive sign, a well-placed sign, or a useful sign. We've got to get this program back on the right track, or our housing values are going to continue to decline, and when the market improves, we will not ride with the market until we fix our problems.
Thank you, Mr. Shine. Are there any members for a member voice tonight? Yes.
Well, I'm speaking about the Lions Club Bass Tournament that's been canceled.
Yes. Are you first? Just so we know, you're a member of the community. You're from what subdivision?
I'm from Quail Hill in Brandermill.
Oh, thank
since
you.
76.
Yeah. Okay.
And my two boys and my husband have fished this forever, and I understand that there's 97% of the hydrilla that's is gone, and it doesn't grow in the winter. So I don't understand what the problem would be in having people from the outside. I think it's only about 10 to 12 volts that come in from the outside. And they'll be washed off the motors, but there really won't be any in there because it's wintertime and they don't grow. So the thing about it is Brandermill people who fish and they have trailers, they get their boats and fish all over the place. They don't only fish, you know, in Brandermill. So I just think for the sake of the Lions Club and their fundraising aspect that it shouldn't really be canceled. I don't know if there's reasons for it, but that's all I...
Well, I mean, to address the reasons, it really doesn't have a lot to do with the hydrilla issue. It has to do with the amenities and being available to members of the community only. That's the point of that.
Okay.
If it's something, a fundraising activity for the community, I mean, that is something the board can consider, or you know, staff can bring to the board. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe a consideration for that, as we have done with other things like our marching band. They're able to solicit and bring members outside as long as, you know, some of the members of that association or group are a part of our community, you know, we will consider that. So, you know, that might be something that you could pursue. If you're saying this on behalf of the Lions Club, it might be something you could pursue in the future. If you would just bring it up with staff or community relations person. Jen, you want to?
Well, they have. They have brought it up with staff numerous times, and they've been told, the people that have contacted me on a number of occasions, that the reason that we've said no to the bass tournaments in the last couple of years is because of the hydrilla issue. We got input from Roy Covington at Chesterfield County Department of Utilities. His opinion was that we are in very good condition right now with the hydrilla, and why take the chance of introducing more hydrilla into the lake by holding this fishing tournament that is open to outside boaters beyond Brandermill. And in his opinion, he agreed with the BCA at that time that there was no reason to take a chance that the hydrilla would come back and that we would be fighting it again when we've just gotten it into control in the last year or so. And I passed that information on to the Lions Club and let them know that the county and Brandermill, myself, supported that decision. And, you know, if Wood Lake would allow them to use their side of the lake, then they could certainly go ask Wood Lake if they would let them use their access. I understand that that wasn't going to happen. And I think for the same reasons, that we're trying to protect the lake.
I totally understand that, but the issue is that there's no way that we can get in the lake now at this point. Because it's not even out there to bring in. And it's winter, it doesn't, and you know, and if it does come in, it's on the motors and they're going to get washed off. And the tournament's been going on for years and years and years. So if it's the reason for the high, you know, the hydrilla, that doesn't make any sense because it's one time a year for 7 hours. You know, so I can't see that the reservoir's going to get infested for that, you know, in 6 hours.
Okay.
So where do I, who's the county person that you?
Roy Covington. You might want to check with the person at the Lions Club who handles this tournament, because he should have all the information. Because I know he spoke to Mr. Covington himself personally.
Okay, Kristen?
Yes.
Okay, all right, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Any other members for member voice tonight? All right. Can I get a motion to approve the meeting minutes from our previous meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion on the minutes? There being no discussion, I'll call a question. All those in favor of the minutes as submitted to the board?
Aye.
Please indicate by saying aye. All those opposed?
Aye.
Abstain.
Okay. We have one abstention. Other members, other members said aye.
Okay.
Tonight, you know, I'll keep my comments brief, partly because we're under the weather, and partly because I know we've got a pretty decent agenda tonight. I wanted to just say, I know the staff will speak to this at some point tonight, but I do have good news tonight. We started another one of our master plan projects today, fairly visible. That's the clearing of the trees on the Millridge Parkway, that first island there, is part of the Community Character Committee. One of their master plan projects was submitted. I think that's good news. I know as a board member, and all of you in the board share this thought with me, is that one of the main things we hear from our membership is, you know, we need to keep clearing our parkways, and I think this is a part of that project. And I believe this is a pilot project, is it not, Joyce, or I'm sorry,
yes.
John?
Yes.
To see how we start maintaining trees in a more natural way on our parkway. So it's very good news. Good enough news even to keep a Patriots fan happy after.
Is that why you're under the weather?
Last night's second beating at the hands of the Giants in a Super Bowl. So, having said that, I'll turn over to the manager's report is submitted in your packet for your review. First, are there any directors that also would like to submit a report for the membership tonight? Dick?
Yeah, I'd just like to let the board know that the Finance Committee did meet recently and reviewed the year-end financials and found everything to be on track very much as we were tracking in December when we saw the last set of numbers, and we came in almost exactly as was anticipated. They have also begun work on the request that we sent them related to the pools. I saw a flurry of emails today that they're continuing to work on that as well. And I understand the finance, not the finance team, but the facilities committee is also begun to work on that. So they're mindful that we would, as a board, like to see some report back on that. So it will be a important part of their agenda.
Excellent. Any other director reports? Before I move on to the next section agenda, you know, I would like to say on the issue of necessarily master plan. I think if you've been around me a while, when it comes to the master plan projects, I've always been real big on we need to have bigger projects. And I realize that there is a cost associated with it, and that's a limiting factor. And I would also like to say that I think that the community has done and staff have done very well, along with our committees, have done very well with a flat budget, ostensibly, over the last 2 years of getting some master plan projects underway. I think that's very commendable. The fact that we're able to do some community improvements and improvements of existing facilities without having big increases to our budget speaks well to how we're doing there. On the other hand, I do know that, you know, there is a certain amount of impatience among our membership about seeing other projects go out there. And I know, and I was wondering if I could ask staff to maybe get with our sister association across the lake. It strikes me that the big giant sign that they have on their property, and I'm not saying that this is what the direction we take, but obviously that sign and the replacement of all of their individual subdivision signs came at a cost. And talking to Wood Lake members, I'm not certain their assessment went up to, at such a rate that it would cover for a project for life. So I'm just wondering how those projects of that size are financed. I'm just wondering, staff, if we could look at what did they do to finance those projects for the purpose of, once you discover that, turning over to the Finance Committee so that perhaps that could be relayed to our Master Plan Oversight Committee for options as far as funding larger projects for the community. It would just be interesting to know that.
I can kind of tell you how part of the money came from.
Wonderful.
And that was from their cap fee, which is equal to 1 year's assessments. And so they're raising quite a bit of money through their capital improvement fee. And for the several years before they started their sign project, they put that money away specifically for the signs, and that's how they're paying for them.
But still, those are options that finance and master plan can, especially the putting money aside into something that is.
And would note that Wood Lake's HOA fees are higher than
Brander Mills, yes. Even
which
though they're
are
smaller.
The lowest of all the large.
Yes.
And they're Brander smaller. Community,
yes.
Yeah.
Brander Mill, for the large scale community that it is, our assessments are lower than anyone in this area.
Yes.
Okay. Manager's report.
Okay, I'm going to highlight a couple of things just so everyone's aware of it. The Board of Supervisors did meet last Wednesday and asked staff to seek permission from VDOT to initiate the CUPD for the roundabout sign on behalf of Brandermill. Yesterday or the day before, I received a copy of a letter from VDOT. They have approved that request from the county, that the county can initiate the CUPD on our behalf for the sign. So the next move that we need to make is to provide the county with a rendering of the sign or changes we're going to make to the sign so that they can move forward with that application process. So that has been taken care of. Communication Task Force has started their meetings. We've met twice. We're meeting again this coming week, and the committee seems to be off to a good start. A correction or change, I should say, to my report is, as of today, we had 10 residents that picked up candidate packages, and 7 have been returned. So we have quite a few candidates interested in 2 positions. Also, Danny Ramsey and I from the BCA met with John McCracken in regard to our tunnel project, and the county on their revenue sharing program has allocated $400,000 toward the repair of the walls around our tunnels. So that project should be started probably by the end of the summer, early fall. With any luck at all, they'll do the tunnel by on Genito Road before school starts. That way it won't impact the kids that walk to school. But that'll save the BCA quite a bit of money if the counties and the VDOT are paying for that. The Facilities Committee has a new member that they would like you to approve. His name is Thomas Flynn. He's a resident of Fox Chase. His background is in healthcare administration, but he has volunteered over a period of 7 years in 2 different state parks, and so has a good background on parks and recreation and things like that. So if the board would approve Thomas Flynn, I'd appreciate it.
Move approval of Mr. Flynn to the Facilities Committee.
I second.
Any discussion on the approval? All right, I'll call a question. All those in favor of the approval, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Okay, I only have 2 more things. Well, I have 1 more thing. And Dick and I had talked about this the other day. The auditors were in the BCA last week, and they're looking over our accounts and all, and they are recommending that we increase our bad debt by $10,000. Because of the increase in bad debt on the AR side, their recommendation is that we could increase it for 2011, if possible, and 2012, because our AR, we have about 55 accounts that are over a year old, and they feel that the percentage, it would even up more of where we should be. We're a little low from their percentage there where we should be on bad debt. So I think based on their recommendation, I think Dick and I agreed that that was probably a good idea to do.
It will also help us with our tax liability,
right,
for 2011. And it's what they're seeing and they're recommending to their clients across the board. So it's not that we're seeing any radical shift or any real shift in numbers, but it's just a prudent accounting move to be able to book that.
What is it currently set at?
well, I'm not sure I understand it, so.
Well,
are you suggesting changing the budget?
It's on the balance sheet.
Yeah.
It's on the balance sheet side. And yeah. So what they're telling us is that our receivables need to be in proportion with our allowance for bad debt. Mm-hmm. And in order for that to happen, we need to increase our bad debt by $10,000. Our bad debt right now is at $35,000. That's what it's on the balance sheet. So that would increase it to 45.
Our allowance for bad debt.
Right. Is at 35,000. That would increase it to 45,000, which will bring it more in line with our receivables. Now, the one thing that, because we're on the accrual system, our assessments are, when they're billed, are on our balance sheet. Mm-hmm. But as the money, so it doesn't reflect the amount of money that's paid. It reflects everything that's been billed.
So when do we book the expense,
right,
that's tied to the balance sheet items?
Mm-hmm.
So when you actually have bad debt expense for 2011, and you actually determine that that's uncollectible.
Right.
That'll be done with when the auditor's done.
So what did we budget for that?
Well.
And then how close are we to that number?
I don't
Where's your financial? I don't think it shows.
I don't have 2011 on financial with me. Jason, if I remember correctly, we were budgeted at, I believe, something like $11,000 on the budget, and we came in at $21,000.
For bad debt expense.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
But for next year's, for 2012, what's the budget for that?
I think about the same, $11,000.
This is a functional.
I'm almost certain it's $11,000.
So we're not being asked to decide anything tonight.
I'm just telling you what their recommendation is.
Okay.
Well, and some of that debt will eventually be paid. I mean, some of those homes are in foreclosure, and as part of the sale, we'll see some of that come in. Some of it will stay on the books, as, you know, as long as the property remains unsold or vacant.
And on the balance sheet side, a lot of the assessments will be paid.
It's a bookkeeping issue.
And some of it's violations where, you know, we have fines against homeowners and all. Some of that will either go away and be forgiven or they'll pay it. So that will, that has a tendency to change too. Some of it is publications. That means we've billed people for
ads.
I'm sorry?
For ads.
Advocacy. Yeah, things like that, and they just haven't paid yet. So some of it will be paid.
To go back to your question, Jason, the budgeted amount for 2011 is $15,000. The actual was $21,796.
Okay.
Okay.
So I was close.
Yeah.
A little off.
Well, the thing, though, is what is it? How does that affect the 2012 budget?
I think the same number we used.
Yes.
We carried
the 15,000.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So as you can see, that's about $10,000 off, and that's what they're asking for the board, or suggesting that we adjust it.
But if you adjust it, then you're going to ask for $25,000 on the budget that calls for 15 now.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And that's going to be closer to reality, is what they're saying, and it's going to fall in line with your balance sheet.
Yeah, and what I would suggest is, as part of the process, that the Finance Committee will look at it at their next meeting and come back to a recommendation with you whether or not to adjust the budget. But I don't know. And how it impacts the revenue side. And they may come back to you and say, it was a suggestion, we understand the reason behind it, but we don't think it's necessary. So,
but if the bad debt is a projection anyhow, I mean, based on experience, that should have come in, you know, the 2012 figure should show relatively close to what...
It should have, yes.
Yes, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really a crucial issue for us right now. I mean,
it's not crucial now.
It's possible we could wait until the next budget's approved to make an adjustment like that.
Yeah, it is possible. And again, by the time we get to the end of this year, we may or may not be at the budgeted amount. I mean,
The auditor's just making the suggestion. He thought it would bring it closer to reality, and the proportion would be better.
Yeah, but I think rather than us making an arbitrary decision, let's let the Finance Committee.
I agree. Not by the only voice. But that sounds like a good suggestion.
That's all I have.
Well, I'll speak again just to one minor point. I'm very in that report that the managers made, I'm very encouraged to hear that 7 people put in for the board. I think that's wonderful. That 7 folks would endeavor to share the joy that we do as board members. But I think it's actually, not to make light of it, it's very great that many folks are interested in the community, they would participate at that level. Thank you very much, members of Brandonville. Okay, next on the agenda are the committee reports, which are also attached in your board packets. Are there any outstanding items? Liaison officers, I know Dick's already mentioned one. But
I just mentioned a couple of things. The facilities, Al and Mel and I met, I guess, the end of December to look at what we could do to kind of get that committee going since it was involved in so many things. And we have recommended a new name, and I think the committee approved the new name when they met last week, which I think we brought forward. But it's... Parks, Amenities, and Recreation Committee, which is abbreviated to PARC or PARC. And so the new member on the committee, having experience in parks, is just perfect. And I think it really does tend to lend itself more to what that committee does. And we are looking at a number of things, perhaps another pocket park, looking at the trails to see if we can put identifications along them. And they did have a meeting, and it was a real meeting. People, there were enough members who showed up that we really had a meeting. And hopefully we'll get some more members to join now that we've kind of refocused. So I'll try to keep you updated. Al, did I miss anything?
No, I guess that the board should act on their suggestion or recommendation that they change their name technically from facilities to parks, amenities, and recreation.
Well, just I support going in that direction, but I would raise the possible suggestion that since the activities committee is also related to recreation, because recreation is not just facilities, it is also the activities in our facilities. And the activities committee, on occasion, has the same kind of issue in ensuring that there's enough membership to have an active meeting. I'm wondering if there's any thought that we might combine those two groups into one, with the recreation part being the activity part. That would add additional membership to the facilities committee, current facilities committee, the park committee. I'm not making a motion or a suggestion, but it might be something, and we don't have to do it tonight, but it might be something that you would think about down the road.
Well, first, Joyce, I also agree with the direction that the facilities committees is headed. I think that's a wonderful idea. I mean, it's kind of saying we embrace the idea of we're going to own everything, not just the pools. I think that's a great statement. On to Dick's point, is that something that's the committee, have they discussed that, or is that...
This is just first blush, and it needs to have a discussion of vetting, and that's why I'm saying we don't need to move forward, but the two points, we have 13 standing community committees, some of which are going great guns, some of which we're trying to reinvigorate. Facilities in most communities, parks and recreation are related to both facilities and program. And there's one world view at that, because the activities use the facilities that a community has available. So it may be a way to clarify a bit and to reinvigorate two committees into one. But
I would, and I think we all recall the discussion with those members that were on the board at the time we had with facilities when we kind of redirected them. I'm great with the idea. I mean, I obviously see the nexus, that the point you're making there. I just will worry that if we move unilaterally, and I'm not suggesting that. But if we move unilaterally without their support, then we might end up with having
to move. I think one step might be to move forward.
I would suggest that we continue on. I think what we're looking at is facilities, to the groundwork, to put parts in place. Mm-hmm. And then the activities come along and use, you know, what we have there, the run or whatever it is. I see your point, and it's a very good point. I think maybe eventually it will combine. But right now, I really feel this one really needs to get up and going before we think about merging it, or I believe we need to have a focus on this committee. And
One other point from the meeting, facilities that I didn't mention. They do have the pool report, and they will be coming back. They're having a March 1st meeting, at which time they'll have gathered their thoughts individually and bring them back to as a committee as to suggestions, recommendations, etc., once they've had enough time to evaluate the pool report that was adopted by the board.
Okay. So are we taking any action on the title here?
I think it'd be nice if the board took action.
Is this policy change, or it's a charter change, technically?
We'd have to change the name of the charter, but I don't think there'd be anything else that needs changing.
Okay.
But you probably just need to probably update it, whatever
right,
it is in there
exactly.
That says facilities. And
do you want a motion to officially recognize a new title?
All right, I would make a motion that the current Facilities Committee be renamed Parks, Amenities, and Recreation Committee, or PARC.
Can I do it? Sorry. It's out of order. Go ahead.
Do we need a second motion?
Second.
Joan, you're a second. Okay. All right. Now we have the motion seconded. Is there any more discussion on the issue?
Well, I mean, I can't help but think that this has not been a terribly active committee, and we haven't seen any report of their activities in a year. And while it's great that there's some excitement, I think that there's no rush, that if they want to provide a report, that we can certainly act on this the next meeting.
Well, they have submitted two reports, and they have done a number of things. Number one, they did the pocket park at North Beach Pool. And, in fact, the fencing is up, the sign is up that it's a master project plan, everything. The other thing that they did that took several months is they went along every trail and identified and trails that had been added and had not changed the map. The map has been updated and is, I think it's printed and ready.
Not yet. It's in process.
Okay, but it's in the process of being, so that it'll be a totally new trail map. So, yes, they have been somewhat active, as well as pools. And they have submitted at least two reports over the last, I'd say, 4 months.
You know why I did that because this is like something they always pretty much tell Al and I. They're, one of their projects that the board didn't fund was the dredging of the landing. And so they did do some work on that for cost and things like that, but the board chose not to fund it.
And also, I think they recommended a community center. And in fact, one of our discussions at our meeting was that. And I know that is one of the efforts that they will continue to pursue, to look at what might we look at for a community center. So I know they do, you know, we've talked about becoming more active.
I understand Jason's point. I think what I would look at it as, we gave them the charge to become the facilities committee, and they graciously accepted to move forward with it, even though I think there was a little bit of angst involved. They've come to us with this, you know, retitling in a way that might indicate to me that they've begun to get excited about this, and they're seeing that larger picture. So I guess, Jason, I would see it as a way to encourage that work or that excitement to grow. So,
yeah, no, I certainly don't want to discourage enthusiasm and appreciate their work. And I just, my memory must be failing with all of these reports and proposals. And it seems that different groups have different roles in each of these projects, so there's certainly collaborations. But like I said, I don't have a problem per se with the name. My problem has been that this is a very important committee with a substantial role, and I haven't gotten the feeling that it is as involved in its full role as it could be.
Yeah, and I share that because I think this, at the end of the day, this should be one of our very most important committees.
It appears as if it's going in that direction, though, Jason, just from the changes that were made. And, you know, some of that maybe because they've been through MPOC, you don't realize it here because they've been through the MPOC, and that's where some of the things that they've done has just showed up, and it hasn't necessarily come up here as opposed to through the MPOC process with the
projects. I mean,
any other director comment? Joan?
I'm good with it.
You're good with it.
I'm good with it.
The only point I would make about it is I think as directors we might get I don't want us to get a little too caught up in formality here. I mean, I think this is to Joyce's point, this is they're trying to reinvest, and I think it's a good thing. I mean, I wouldn't want to stand in the way of that enthusiasm, so I support the renaming of the committee. Shall we call a question? All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? There are no members opposed. No directors opposed.
Thank you.
Okay.
Next time, being there, no other committee reports.
May I ask a question?
Please.
I saw in the report about candidate night, meet the candidates, mm-hmm. but I wondered, since it is March, do we have a date yet?
The date I was given was Tuesday, March 13th.
So that is the meet the candidates night?
As of right now.
We'll have a board meeting before that.
Because it's NRC sponsored, but that's the date I had been given by the NRC chair.
And I guess my other question is, was there a change of officers at the end of the month?
Not yet. They don't have a full slate yet.
Okay.
But that NRC meet the candidate night is at 6:30 here. So mm-hmm. just be mindful of the 6:30 start time.
Francis, I hate to put you on the spot, but... It raises the question. Will you please explain where is NRC right now with its slate of officers and nominees?
They have, from what the best that I've been able to determine, they have one position left to fill. Most of them have been filled. I think the only one left is first vice chair, but I'm not sure. It might be filled now.
Wouldn't the normal process be they nominate the officers for that and their election?
They will. The problem was that they didn't get participation early enough to be able to do it into their normal annual meeting in January. So just in the last week, they've been able to fill some of those spots. So I was trying to get a hold of Andrea today to find out exactly when their meeting should be, which should be in February, in order to put their slate out so that the NRC can vote on them, so that then it can come before the board and everything will transpire for the meet the candidates night. So I left her a message, but I haven't been able to communicate yet with her since she is still the chair at this point.
Okay.
I do know that they're probably just running a little behind getting started back this year, getting things moving in the right direction.
So. Could I suggest that maybe the board help them? I mean, in the sense that the normal process would have been that they would have nominated their officers in January or November, as I recall, if the process works. Is that right?
Well, actually, they put the nominating committee together in November.
Right.
And then they're to get people together and have it for their January meeting. The problem was that as of the end of the year, they only had two positions filled, so they didn't really have a very good slate.
Two people submitted themselves for nomination for
yes,
for
and so I started working a little bit with them to try and get them to look broad, and I've sent out some feelers, and so they have, come together and gotten some people, but they haven't quite finished it up yet, so they're in the process.
I don't want to use the term concern or irregularity, because I don't think that's the case here. But on the other hand, we're midway through the first quarter of the year.
Yes.
And I think their membership needs to understand, if we're going to be an active committee, we're going to have to function.
I think the nominating committee chairperson or whatever is aware of that, and I've talked several times with her.
Okay.
So it's just been a little process.
The way where the board is looking at this is, I don't want to use the word tolerant either, but I don't know what else to use. Tolerant, the fact that we're way behind on this process,
I have communicated that. And they're aware of it.
All right. I just don't want one of our important bodies to dissolve, is where I'm headed.
It will not dissolve. Okay. I can assure you of that. Whether or not someone has to step in is a different situation. But
okay.
They will not dissolve, They will have a slate, and hopefully that will be momentarily. They may have it at this very moment, but...
Very good.
Okay.
All right. The next item on the agenda is a motion to approve committee charters. We have in front of us the charters for ARB, Natural Resources, and the NRC. We just had some discussion. This is an item under motion. Are there any members of the community that are present that wish to speak to this particular item? Okay, there being no indication of that, can I get a motion to approve the committee charters?
Move approval for all three charters, Mr. President.
Second.
Okay. Any board discussion on the charters? Okay, there being no discussion on the charters, I'll call the question. All those in favor of the charters as presented, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay. Jane, you're updating the roundabout the next time. Jane, is that something you already covered in your...
I did cover it, and the insert I included in your board package was the same one you got by email. I'm just putting it in there so you all have it. But that was covered earlier in my manager's report.
Okay. Proposed extension cord policy. Looks like fun. Who's got this one?
I will. So natural resources, you all have an insert that looks like this in your board package, and I really only put it on the agenda to give you all an opportunity to look at it and maybe go to member comment next month.
Okay.
So it's something that they're suggesting, that the extension cords for the people that live along the waterfront, only the ones with a bike path that take extension cords from their house to the water. If it goes across a bike path, they don't cover it or anything like that, could become a trip hazard. So they've come up with a way that cord could be buried underneath the bike path so that it would not be a trip hazard.
Okay. I mean, I thought that was, having lived here for a few years, I thought that was kind of standard practice, that if you were in that situation, you would burrow under the trail. And
they don't. They just let them lay out across.
Is this something that we would...
It becomes a real trip hazard.
Is this not an enforceable item right now because of this, the way we have it set up?
Right. We have nothing in writing that tells them how they have to do it. And it once you have a chance to look at this, you'll see that they have cost and everything else that they're going to recommend. And because it goes under the bike path, which if a homeowner didn't know what they were doing, could maybe
damage
the bike path that were... We're willing, the BCA maintenance staff would do it for a cost.
Okay, so essentially we're going to propose a method of burrowing under the bike path. In the future, if they don't do that, we're able to enforce.
Right, and there's only 49 waterfront properties that would be affected by this, but not all of them have extension cords across the bike paths.
Shelford Trace, River Birch Trace, McTeers Cove, Walker's Ferry.
So that's why I put it in here, so you could all see it. It's going to be on the internet in the board package, and we could come back with member comment next month.
Oh, I'd just like to make one suggestion on things that we've done in the past. We've taken out the exact cost. I mean, and put in a fee, because sometimes that fee changes. The same with the size of the pipe. I'm not sure it's necessary that we put in the exact size, or that there's a rope to...
To pull.
That could be more in the mechanics, rather than in the policy itself. Mm-hmm.
Just
policy.
Broader language.
Exactly.
Are we going to require that BCA maintenance handle this strictly? Or are we going to provide an option that the homeowner be able to do it themselves?
Well, I think one of the issues for me is that
thanks, Jason.
An issue we need to communicate clearly to those impacted by this. And I would prefer that BCA do this, because this really is a liability risk issue, and that's the heart of the matter. And I know there'll be folks who say, oh, well, I've been doing this for 30 years, and that's well and good, but if you walk through the very neighborhoods you mentioned, and I do walk those neighborhoods, and I have seen and nearly tripped over them, that we run, the association, on behalf of all the residents, runs the risk of a serious liability issue. And so we can't turn our eyes away from it. We need to address it. And so we need to communicate it from that this is not that we're trying to be, the bad guys here or whatever. This is a true liability issue. With someone to get hurt or injured, we would all bear the responsibility for this. There is a way to solve it. There's a way to solve it very nicely, but it's going to be done by BCA staff, because there has to be consistency and it has to be done right.
And could we not, like, address this, too? If we only have 49 properties that are involved, can't we not send that to those properties so that they...
That's exactly.
We don't have to worry about them looking at a packet or getting a communication or... You know,
that's what we would do.
Oh, okay, yes. They
that's
are directly
exactly.
going
we wouldn't waste the money spent sending it to everybody if it didn't,
thank you.
If it didn't impact everybody.
I just wanted us to do it in a way that the phraseology of the letter is fully explaining why we're doing it, and we understand that for some folks this is a difference in the way they used to do it, but there are greater issues here, and we want that consistency of installation. So,
my sense is, and I think we all agree, that this will be a requirement that BCA maintenance handle the installation.
Yes.
Can we direct staff to make sure they include that in the letter?
Well, it'll come back to you next month.
Okay. And it'll be a topic for member discussion? For
yes.
Member discussion or member voice? Excellent. Next item on the agenda is you, Al.
I need just a minute to kind of...
Now, presentation. I asked... Jane and I were discussing items for the agenda, as we typically do. And I suggested that, you know, that perhaps... I mean, we talk about our master plan projects in the context of the Master Plan Oversight Committee. But we don't really have a visual representation for a lot of what that group is doing, and especially since now some of the work is underway... in the community. I thought it might be nice to have staff run around our community and take some pictures of some of the projects and then put it on a PowerPoint presentation for the membership, which would also go on our Brandon Mill site so that people could see this is kind of what we're involved in. So the next time the agenda is all about that. Master Plan Projects Update by our Assistant Community Manager. Shall we get out of the way now?
Without tearing the work table.
Back and take a look at what we tried to do and what we accomplished in 2011. So this is the Brandon Mill Master Plan Committee and the BCA activity. And this is all in your packets. You should have a complete set of this. It would be in color. I don't think the pictures. But these were the projects. Marketing undertook the logo and branding and the directional signs. These were the lead committee. Community Character undertook the entrance landscaping. Community Cleanup Day was headed up by activities. Natural Resources Committee was involved in the landing and Nuttree Park. And then we had facilities involved with North Beach Pocket Park, the trail review. The NRC took the lead on cluster mailboxes, and BCA staff and maintenance were involved with the Harbor Point Clubhouse upgrades. The new logo branding for marketing from the marketing committee, if you remember, was a waterfront community, to be used on all new signs at entry points for Brandon Mill, and the first one, and specifically what we worked on at that point, was the sign at Hull Street. Wendy wasn't available to take this picture, so I had to take it, so I apologize for the photography aspects.
We also put in some new plantings, too.
Yes, we're going to... But some of those plant, those are the new plantings that are there. But this was for the sign itself. Marketing then also undertook the directional signage that we spoke about a little earlier. There's a recap of what's taken place in 2011 with the Boundary Terrace, Mill Ridge, Brander Mill Parkway, especially north of Geneteau, and then Brander Mill Parkway and Mill Ridge Parkway near the golf and tennis clubs. And I just have a couple of those pictures. I did not take a picture of every single sign. I think most of us are familiar with and aware of what they are. Sorry about that. And that one's actually the one, I think, at the Loop Road at the end of Sunday Park. Next, the entrance landscaping that Community Character headed up. There were five areas that we, the board agreed, and we made enhancements to landscaping at the main entrance that we just talked about at Hull Street and Old Hundred, the whole Old Hundred Road median, the Old Hundred and Millridge Parkway, and then the Millridge Parkway where the islands are, and then the north entrance to Brander Mill. I did try to capture a picture for each of those. That is part of what the Hull Street entrance area looks like. Here we added nine red rocket crepe myrtles that replaced the honey locust, in the median strip across from the Holiday Inn. To the right is the Market Square area. This is at the where Old Hundred meets Millridge Road. We also added some pavers there, if you notice, to keep the landscape area separate from the road. That seems to have worked very well. This is the Millridge Parkway entrance. This is the area that right now is under the, quote, tree management project. This is where it began this morning, right in this area. And then the north entrance to Brander Mill that we re-landscaped. So that was another very successful project. Speaking of successful projects, this was just a great undertaking. The Activities Committee, over 35 neighborhoods participated in the Community Cleanup Day. We used 73 of the bagsters to clean up the open space, and then we partnered with Waste Management in providing both the bagster and the pickup schedule. Here's two of our wonderful residents of Long Shadow picking up their bagster, and here is Waste Management taking the full load out of the neighborhood. So next, we had the landing. Natural Resources led this effort. There was other participation from Community Character and Crime Prevention in name two. Project components include new downcast light globes. We did stonework to edge the driveway. We regraded the driveway. And then there were some additional plantings at the bathroom area and neighborhood screening. The new globe lights, there's three of them in the landing. And I was there the other night. They definitely are a downcast lighting compared to what would exist in most other places. So I think that was a tremendous upgrade. I've heard through the grapevine that that's been well received. I haven't actually heard directly from any residents, but I've heard from other residents who heard people talking about it at the landing. So I'm hopeful that that's certainly the case. The edging, the driveway edging. You know, the other thing I want to say here is some of this, these two in particular that I recall, came out of our community meetings. I know we've not really talked about that, and we know that that's important. But these two recommendations or suggestions, if I remember correctly, were direct results of the meeting we held at the church a couple years ago in November, prior to the start of these projects, for this particular landing. This came out of that meeting, so. The other thing is we did put some landscaping in around the restroom and then in a couple of other areas near Tears Cove and Commodore Point. And there was a second component of the landing project, and Natural Resources, again, was the lead on it, but the BCA maintenance had a very important role. They painted the bathroom, the Brander Mill green. They installed a boat wash station, which is on the back side of the bathroom, to help to control hydrilla and other things coming in and out of the lake. They installed the post and the rope near the path in the water. We repaired and replaced the bridge. We resurfaced the walking path near the bridge. They replaced all the T-racks, and they went from 3 tiers to 2, and they ended up securing some of that driveway edging with stonework so that it would be easier for the boats to get in and out of their parking spots. So just a few pictures to go through with those. This was taken, obviously, in the winter, so the area just to the left of the boat wash note sign there would be where the reel and the hose is. You can see a little spigot on the back lower side of that. This is what the landing now looks like where the bridge work has been completed. And the path now makes it very even and level, leaving the bridge and moving on to the path, which was another concern that residents expressed. And I think the post and rope seems to add a lot to the area, as well as the two-tiered T-Rex. So it's a very good project. Nuttree Park Pavilion, which headed up by Natural Resources, again, it responded to feedback that we received from residents, and the committee kind of changed gears and went towards right now establishing a pavilion that lends some shade to folks, and I'll show you the picture here in a minute, near the playground area. Obviously, the ARB and the BCA staff and maintenance department all were instrumental in helping this get done, but it was all at the mindset of Natural Resources, and they came up with the original draft of what the pavilion should look like, which is the final product, minus the fact that it needs to be painted, and that will be done come the springtime. So I've heard a couple of nice comments about that as well, by the way. The Facilities Committee, they undertook the North Beach Pocket Park. They figured out the area, they designed it, they gathered the volunteers for spreading the mulch. They're reviewing the and made a suggested change to the park entrance signage, so I'm working with the sign company right now. Hopefully we'll get that up in the next 30 days. The BCA, Master Gardener, and Maintenance were involved in this project. We had to submit mitigation plans to the county, which then required us to put some shrubbery in order to receive the permit. Maintenance cleared the path in the picnic area and installed a split rail fence near the entrance area. This is the entrance area. It's right off the path between Shallowford Landing and the North Beach Pool. The pool is off to the right. The landing will be back towards the left on the pathway. And the sign will go in somewhere right around that area. It'll be a two-sided sign, and it'll be consistent with our directional signage as far as the look and the material. And here's a view from, this is the back area of the pool where the fence is. I was standing kind of right up against the fence, and this is the view that you had. One of the facility committee members, I should say the parks committee member, was at the meeting the other night. He was over and we got a point very close to this, can see the park from his property, and said that people have been using the park. So I think it's going to be well received, especially as we warm up in the year. It's going to get the signage up there and people are aware of it.
It's a great kayak landing zone where if you get pooped, you can go land a kayak for a while.
All right. Well, advertise. Well, maybe we don't want to advertise. Facilities Committee, I think Director Rowe mentioned earlier, the trail review, the entire committee was involved, or most of the committee was involved in that. It did take quite some time. I think there's roughly 15 miles of trails in Brandermill. So they broke themselves up into four different groups, and they went around trying to find things that either needed repair or replacement.
Yeah,
I know. I didn't realize he was leaving, otherwise I would have mentioned
this first.
And then, as we mentioned, Wendy and I are working on updating the maps right now. There's other updates to the maps. We've got new neighborhoods and things like that that have come in since the last time. So it's more than just the trails. Cluster mailboxes. Way back when the decision was made to change out to the green and black style, the board asked MPOC to come up with a plan, and that plan included the NRC being involved in getting the cluster mailbox program off the ground. They were very involved, and we come back once again. They met with, they brought together residents from the three neighborhoods that were affected. Those people had direct input on the look, the feel, everything that was going to happen with regard to the mailboxes. And we worked with one of the four contractors in coming up with design and the development with ARB's help and approval, and obviously with NRC being involved. We have, I think it's three total of all the three neighborhoods. I think we've got three clusters. I just got checks for a cluster in Five Springs on Monday, I think. Last week, I don't recall what day it was. So those cluster mailboxes will be in place in about a week in Five Springs. I got a call today from a resident, two residents in the same cluster in Long Shadow, who are trying to get their four or five additional neighbors. They think they'll have checks from me in the next week. So little by little, they seem to be taking hold in our neighborhoods that have cluster mailboxes. And finally, the Harbor Point Clubhouse interior upgrades that the BCA oversaw. We got some new carpet, new kitchen tile flooring, new countertops, and new furniture. And I've got a couple of pictures there for you. Nice touch with the furniture. The carpet looks very, very nice. And the kitchen countertops were all replaced, as well as the tile floor in the kitchen. We redid the floor molding at the bottom as well. So that was our 2011.
When was that done, Al? That project completed?
I'm sorry? The clubhouse.
So the carpet's no longer green, and now the room's pink.
It looks great.
No, it's beautiful. It's like a clean carpet that blends in with the paint.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Great.
That was excellent.
Thank you.
Very nice. Thank you, Al.
Okay.
Thanks very much.
That's a great thing to have.
What question? Can this go on the website?
Yeah. What program is that?
It's PowerPoint.
And it's in the packet.
Yeah.
It's already
I can email the whole thing to you,
Wendy.
That'll be easier.
Just be great for residents.
Yeah, the residents could access the slides on the website. That'd be great.
Sure.
Let's drive residents to it by doing a heading and headline and drive residents to it.
Because we have people still who say, I don't know what my $100+ a quarter is going for.
Hey, right? You needed to stay to hear this.
I know.
Okay, that concludes the. That includes the open session of our agenda tonight, folks. The next item on the agenda is an executive session to discuss a contract issue. I would also like to say first, if you're leaving, first, thank you for coming tonight. As usual, I appreciate residents that show up for our meetings. And help yourself to some cookies.
Yeah.